It's hard not to talk about Novak Djokovic this morning after the revelations that came out yesterday that he knowingly had COVID and went out into the public in Serbia before coming out here to Australia. The journalist who spoke to him when he was COVID positive has spoken about the situation and actually revealed that at the time he was specifically asked not to speak about Novak's stance on the vaccine or on whether or not he was vaccinated himself. So just a little bit more seeping out in terms of the optics, Jules, really not good. And from everyone who's been listening this morning, there has not been one positive thing that anyone has had to say about Novak or the situation.
And what I find the theme of a lot of our correspondence this morning, in fact, all of it with regards to Novak, is any sympathy that they may have had for him has dried up now.
Yeah.
Because it looks like he doesn't give a rat's about public health. It doesn't matter if Border Force stuffed up or the federal government stuffed up, which they did, that doesn't change. But it's more the fact that knowingly going out when you're COVID positive or not isolating while you're waiting for the result of a test, not telling them, and then, as you mentioned there, telling the journalist who you wanted so desperately to keep your appointment with, oh, don't ask him about vaccination for the virus. What do you got to hide? What do you got to hide? So what does that tell you? Maybe he didn't know what his play was to get into Australia, because that was his only in, was this dubious, this conflicted ATAGI guideline saying if you contract COVID-19, well, then you can delay a vaccination by 6 months. But the ATAGI chief came out Monday and said, well, two things. That wasn't meant to apply to foreigners. And secondly, it's not meant to apply to anti-vaxxers. It's to delay a vaccine, not a reason to not have a vaccine. And we know that Novak does not want to have the vaccine.
No, exactly right. We're waiting on hopefully some form of clarification or verdict today on whether he stays, whether he goes, given that the main draw for the Australian Open comes out later this afternoon. Barnaby Joyce was on the Today Show a little earlier. Have a listen to what he thinks.
Do you think he should stay?
I've made my views clear. I think that the rules that one person follows is the rules that everybody should follow, just like Mr. Depp and Amber Heard. You know, I mightn't agree with the fact that I have to have rat test to go from New South Wales up here into Queensland, but I do. Yeah. Why? Because that's the law.
Okay.
And, you know, he's no better. He's still a child of God like the rest of us, isn't he? So he's got to abide by the laws.
In case you didn't know that.
He's a child of God, is he?
We'll see what happens today. But, public sentiment is certainly not in Novak's favour. A couple of listeners asking for updates on the Dakar rally, which is pretty exciting. Toby Price winning stage 10, so doing really well. I think he's won it twice. So fingers crossed that he can continue with that form. Debutant Aussie Daniel Sanders, he crashed out a couple of days ago, which ended his hopes. Not so good. And Molly Taylor is over there as well, doing it for the Aussie women, which is really cool. They are 38th in the rally classification, I believe, at the moment. So, we'll keep you updated. Amazing pictures always from the rally. I love it.
Yeah, not for me. I mean, they've got a death wish, these blokes.
Yeah.
And women, I should say.
That does not mean that you'll see me out there. That's for sure.
Yeah, they've got some kahunas, don't they? They've got some kahunas. Child of God.
You're still on that, aren't you?
I'm still on that. He's a unique individual. I thought it was Child of the Cabbage Patch. 0457 736 736. Steve says, Jimmy has fled the camp. He is definitely Major Frank Burns. What is that ding for, Mulchie? Why are we dinging?
Is it correct?
Oh, is that right? Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. Major, if Frank Burns eats worms. The 4077, here's this. I'm going to educate you on MASH this morning. The photo that Colonel Potter kept of his wife Mildred on his desk was actually a photo of his then wife. Yeah.
Oh.
In the background. That's nice. And then Radar. You know how Radar used to have the teddy bear? He was the first one cast, by the way. That once was housed at the Smithsonian. Sold at auction July 29, 2005 for $11,800. $11,000 for Radar's teddy bear from MASH.
I mean, no.
It's got to be a fan that buys that. Now, and this is interesting too, Joe. So you know how we're talking about, are you a BJ Trapper person? Are you a Henry Blake or Potter person? So all the replacement characters, so BJ, Potter, and then Charles lasted longer than the characters they replaced, being Trapper, Henry and Frank. But I reckon if you did a snap poll, I reckon most people would be in the camp of the earlier troop of Trapper, Henry and Frank.
I'd say so.
Yeah. Well, you are. And
yeah,
I am.
Yeah.
And they say great minds think alike. 0457 736 736. Macca from Maitland, good morning to you. Jules and Joe, I'm a bit jack of all the talk of integrity of the competition with the Big Bash due to teams being low on players and sharing players, etc. No one criticised the integrity of the NRL, yet players were loaned to the Warriors to help them out, as well as the Raiders losing Corey Horsburgh and Ryan James to the Bulldogs mid-season. That is true. I think Jermaine Tanoa Brown went to the Dragons for a few games too there. Macca from Maitland. No integrity questions there. As you said, it's a business with obligations to employees, fans, stakeholders and broadcasters to serve. If 10 Stars players got gastro and couldn't play, would we call the comp off? Macca from Maitland. It's a good point you make, Macca.
Yeah, you wouldn't call the competition off, but you would probably, forfeit the game, I suppose. Whereas that's the thing. I think the guys are frustrated because there's this pool of players that are jumping around different teams on a consistent basis. I think with the NRL, it was a few players to one team, much smaller scale, perhaps.
Yeah, but that would ramp up as the case may be, right? The bottom line, I think what Mac is trying to say is that we need to do everything in our power to get a team on the field. So if half your team's out because of gastro, well, so you're not going to forfeit a grand final. You find someone. You call upon someone if you have to. And I take your point. I mentioned before the news. Thank you, Macca. Excellent tweet. Joe Burns tweeted this yesterday. And he says, next year's Big Bash should be 8 rounds played on a Friday, Saturday and Sunday, 1 round each weekend. The T20 World Cup in October will create a lot of content before the Big Bash. So let's make each game an event with big build-up storylines, crowds similar to the Winter Codes, would also allow some midweek Shield games. Now, on paper and on principle, I like it, but it won't happen. And the reason it won't happen is still 2 years to run on that massive broadcast deal that Cricket Australia did with the Seven Network and with Fox for 61 games each season. 61 games. You can't do 8 rounds played in a weekend because that 861 games, they go, hey, well, hang on, what am I paying for? They pay for content. They pay for live content.
Yeah, I mean, while obviously there haven't been that many people at the actual games, viewing figures have been not too bad.
Well, viewing figures have always remained steady. Crowds are down. There's a bit of, there's a bit of COVID panic as well, no doubt. And the quality's down. And we could argue all day about the quality and lack of international stars and overscheduling and sometimes less is more, that sort of thing. But what they found is with more games, they didn't attract more fans. So they kept the same amount of fans, but they stretched more thinly across more games. So if I'm a dad, I might say, well, I can take my kid to 3 home games a year. And that's it. If there's more games, I still can't afford to take them to more than 3 home games a year. And that's what thins out the crowd numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, so that makes sense.
The viewing numbers are still very strong. At the end of the day, it is a made-for-TV sport. 0457 736 736. Hey, I want to hear your thoughts this morning, if you could be bothered, on Novak Djokovic. Open line, thanks to McDonald Jones.
I do like this very quickly from the Mo Man. Morning, a correction on Jimmy. He didn't mow his own lawns.
Did I say it? No, because he said yesterday that he didn't mow his own lawns.
He did, yeah. He said not through his own fault. Somebody had the lawnmower. He also didn't clean the house. He got the cleaner in for that as well.
What do you mean? So he loaned his mower to
something
someone?
Something like that, I think. I can't quite remember.
Loans mowers.
Also, send Novak's jock home. Yep.
Yeah, I don't think we've had one text of support.
We have not.
For Novak this morning.
If you're out there and you do support him, I want to know why. Let us know.
I'm just going back to Jimmy for a moment. Can you imagine him just standing there on the back porch just judging somebody mowing the lawn? Oh, yeah. You're doing number 3 there, are you, mate? It looks a bit long. We can go down one more. Yeah? Just missed a spot. Are you edging there, are you? Or is that how you negotiate the lemon tree, is it? Okay. Just sitting there in judgment of how somebody mows the lawn. All right, there was an ad on, I don't know, it was Facebook or something. It said, I desperately need somebody to mow a lawn. We'll pay $20 for the job. I said, mate, who's going to mow the lawn for $20 unless it's little Tommy, 12-year-old Tommy down the street. He wants some pocket money. 0457. 736 736. Jules and Joe on the chair for Vossie on SEN Breakfast.